I'd like to welcome each one here this morning. It's a blessing to gather together and worship together. Ponder on days gone by when it wasn't so easy to be a child of God. And maybe realize that we might have it so easy that we may not have a hold of that reality good enough if that would happen to us. God help us to get a vision that would plant this Christianity is so deep in our hearts that we wouldn't recant either. Would to God that there could be children of God anchored on God today. So may we pray, may we do business with God this morning, may we seek Him and be real with Him, each one of us in our hearts. We have another day of opportunity to do that or to make things right if there's things we sense that need dealt with in our hearts. Let's be honest, shall we? Each one of us before God, it's our eternity that's at stake. And perhaps those around us that are observing our lives and seeing a zeal or a lack of it. So it may not just be us, it might be those around us too that need the same impact working in their hearts. If you'd pray with me, I just have a lot on my heart this morning and I'll pray, but just ask the Lord for direction in my own heart as I speak this morning. I'd like to take a moment to pray and ask for the Lord's presence here if we could. Lord, I come to you this morning and just open my heart to you, Father, and just ask that you could break your word, Lord, down as bread of life and feed us morsels of truth this morning that would help us as we walk through life. Lord, it's an interesting walk and sometimes it's a stressful one. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes there's things you ask of us, there's things you lay before us that seem hard and may seem perhaps overwhelming. Lord, you find us all this morning at different places in life, and yet you're a loving God and you do this to draw us to yourself. Lord, there's been those that have walked before us that faced mountains, and maybe here this morning we're coming and maybe we need the same fire burning deeper in our hearts, Lord. I just ask, Lord, in my own heart that you could take and make the word clear this morning, the subject you'd have me to speak on here. May you make it words of life and grace. Lord, help us to lay hold of the promises that are in your word in such a way that we could leave this place with a renewed zeal or a new zeal if it would be so. To serve you. Lord, we just thank you for this time. Pray your blessing on my meditations here in Jesus' name. Amen. When we were singing number 407, my mind just really was wandering this morning about some of these words. Says, faith they had that knew not shame, love that could not languish, an eternal hope o'ercame the momentary anguish. Up and follow, Christian men, press through toil and sorrow, spurn the night of fear, and then, oh, the glorious morrow. And I was thinking about that, and my mind was turned to Hebrews 11. This is part of what I'm speaking about this morning. So if you want to turn there, we'll just ponder on a few of the verses. This is a biblical martyr's mirror. Peter brought out a fuller picture of more people that were not written about here in Hebrews, but lived for the same causes. Died for the same reasons. Hebrews 11, I'd like to look at verse 9. It says, by faith, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And you go down to verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Verse 33 says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. And verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The title of what I'm looking at this morning is, it's a little bit long here. We have been given exceeding great and precious promises. All throughout the New Testament, it talks about these promises. And I got thinking, so what are they? I thought maybe we'd take a minute and just, if any of you brothers have any of a promise, maybe we'll make a bit of a list here. What kind of promises have we been given? Reuben? So how can we summarize that one? An answer to our call? What would you think? I want to kind of... an open ear of God? Open ear? Can tell Reuben's heart is full this morning about this one here. God's open ear. Okay, next.
Eternal life.
Maybe we'll ponder on that one some more this morning. Peace. Joy.
Rest.
Let's maybe write heirs. How about that?
Suffering.
Sometimes we don't look at that as a precious thing, do we? But it takes some of that to be thankful. All right, hear the Holy Spirit. Victory, power. Was another one? Wisdom. So we have God's open ear, eternal life, peace, joy, rest, forgiveness, love, heirs in God, suffering, Holy Spirit, victory, power, wisdom. And, you know, we could probably go a long ways around writing these things down, couldn't we? And it would be good for us, and sometimes it is good for us to stop, and when upon life's billows roll, count your many blessings one by one, and it will surprise you to see what God has done. Sometimes we need to do that, to develop within our hearts a thankful spirit, one that's awed once again at God and who He is. To have a broken and a contrite spirit and realize from whence all cometh, all of what we have, our life, His grace comes from God. And as we read Hebrews 11 and we think about what Peter shared this morning, and we hear the children's class, the avenue of prayer, continuous prayer, and then so much faith that we can just lean on God, as Thomas demonstrated there, faith in Jared. Do we have faith in God this morning like that, where we can rest our problems in Him? How is it as we come here this morning? Is there a peace like that that's just undergirding our soul and giving us a peace that passes any understanding we might have in the situation that we might be facing, that gives us an anchor to where we can let it in God's hands and there's a rest there? As I grow older and go through some of life, Joe brought out the word rest. You know, a good night's sleep is something that is a blessing that we can experience in God in the midst of our problems and some of our troubles that we face. That kind of rest and peace that lets it in God's hands is wonderful. And many times it passes understanding we might be trying to get a hold of. It's just powerful. And God wants us to rest in Him, to fall on Him in a real way that He can be our peace. So this morning I'd like to look at 2 Peter. That's where we're going to go for our text this morning, 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 15. I was thinking about, you know, baptism. What kind of baptism message can we have? And I had different thoughts, but ended up setting a few different ones aside and laying a hold of this one. We have been given exceeding great and precious promises. And the phenomena of that thing, the awesomeness of knowing where we're going to go when we die, wondering where we're going to go when we die, that phenomena, that heart-gripping reality that we all want to have a hold of an answer for. God has put that within each one of our hearts to draw us to Himself. Don't spurn that. Don't push that away. Let God take that thing and work it in our hearts to such a way that we either get born again and get saved, or if we're saved and there's issues there, that we stop and deal with it because we want that peace and that assurance and that rest so real that we won't stop or leave this place until we have a hold of that again. That's God's heart, moment by moment, to draw us to himself. I want to encourage us that there is an answer. You can know where you're going to go when you die this morning. You don't have to go to bed wondering about the answer to that question. Amen? Can you say that, Alfie? Yeah, and Adrian? Thank the Lord. And those tight promises of being with God, going to heaven, having nothing burdening our consciences that we're free and we can look forward to that day. These type promises are worth dying for. They're worth living for. And they're worth getting down on our knees and repenting for. Because there's nothing greater than having that kind of peace. You can have such full pockets of wealth and money that it might take a briefcase. Sometimes I see people carrying a briefcase around. And sometimes you think, what's in that thing, you know? Maybe they're well-dressed, they have their briefcase. We come and we have our package too. Right here. There's a lot of wealth in here. What's filling your heart's pockets this morning? What's really in there? And who is on the throne of your heart this morning? Those are the kind of questions we want to look at this morning. There's promises, there's truths that people like Abraham left everything they had and went where God told him to go, not knowing why and really not knowing where he was going, but just knowing that God was leading and that was good enough. And he told other people about that as he went along the way. And he spoke of his God to others. And others that we read about in Hebrews 11 did the same. And we have those opportunities throughout our day to speak about these great and precious promises. And these are things, and we could go on and on. And I've got about 20 of them. I don't know how many of you have Thompson Chain reference, but write down number 2879 if you do. And if you get home and you have time and you have a need for a few subjects to know what to read about, number 2879 is promises. We're going to go over some of them this morning. Time won't allow us to talk about all of them. The clock could go too far. That's the kind of God that we have. But there's just many, and as I was looking at this, it's those promises, it's that hope that worked in Adrian's heart to the extent that he wasn't going to settle for anything less than getting born again and getting a hold of that peace that he could know that he's right with God. And then for us, as we walk through life, is it right with our wife? Is it right with the elders of the church, those that are in authority over us? Is it right with us and our brothers? Is it right between us and God? This is something that we want to look at and just ponder on. We've been given many promises, and we want to lay hold of those. We want nothing between us and our Savior. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read here to verse 15. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a promise. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. And so that's really what it's about here this morning. It's really no new thing. It's really not a whole new subject you've never heard before or that I've never considered. It's just something to put us in remembrance that we don't forget, that we don't overlook or fool ourselves and try to justify ourselves when things are not right, but that we do business with God today and think about these things so that these promises can work their work in our hearts. I have a statement here. It says, faith unites the heart of the weak believer to Christ as surely and real as it does the strong one, and it purifies the heart of the one. I just want to park on that a little bit. Maybe there's some of us who struggle at times to have faith that God is real in the situation that we're facing, and maybe it just doesn't seem like we can quite trust him that far. Maybe we can't quite allow him to take us to that direction because we're just kind of struggling along a little bit. Maybe we're weak in that area. Maybe it's hard for us to have enough faith to step along. And then you look around and maybe it seems like the other brother, he can just walk along and faith isn't an issue. Have you ever felt those feelings? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but have you ever felt those feelings where maybe you look and it seems like that brother just goes through and all I do is just face one struggle after the other to have faith in my situation? Well, the faith that it takes you to work through that is the same experience that the brother has in his heart happening. God becomes just as real to both of you as you lay hold of faith. I don't know if I'm making myself clear in that, but faith unites the heart of a weak believer or one who might seem a little more zealous. Faith unites the heart of that believer to Christ. Faith does that. It does it in all men. And it brings that strength down to reality in our own hearts. And by this faith, we're justified in the sight of God from our sins, just as if we'd never sinned. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. We're justified like that when we trust Him like that and we give Him our hearts like that. Just as if we'd never sinned. That's what justified means. It's not a complicated word. just as if I'd never sinned. If we can lay hold and trust Him by faith like that, that He loves me, that He died for me, and I can give my heart to Him like that, and He'll forgive. And it allows God to do His finished work in our hearts as we look at the situations. So in verse 1 of 2 Peter here, as we look at this, Simon Peter, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he was writing to those that have this like precious faith in their hearts. And, you know, some people think, well, you know what, that truth, that teaching, that's for those people back there. That's not for today. I'm sorry, but a verse like that, I'm thankful to have a hold of this today. This Bible is for today. Is it not? Would you want to look at that verse and realize that that was for those people back there? Or would you want it for you today? There's a lot God asks of us in this book, and it's for today. It's to those who have obtained this like precious faith. And what a comfort and security it is to have that in our hearts and to know Him like that. In verse 2, it's the heart of God that as we walk together, it says, grace and peace be multiplied. What's 100 times 100? 10,000. Have you ever felt God's grace multiplied in your heart as you go day to day? Does God want to stop at 70 times 7? Does He? No. He wants a living, ongoing example of His grace. So He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. That's a present tense term, the way He's wording it here. It's like, may it be multiplied to you, brother. Lord bless you. May this grace and peace be multiplied to you. Thank God for that. He's not just adding, He's multiplying. He wants it to be bountiful to us. And then you go on in verse 3. And this is something that, as I think of this morning and a baptism coming up, verse 3, it says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things. And I have written here, it's the glory of God's power to convert a sinner. It's a glory. It's God. It's the glory of God to convert a sinner. It's the glory of God to do that. Taking someone who has horrible bad habits, a debauched life, messed up circumstances. It's the glory of God to take and convert a sinner. And our God's a miracle-working God. And it's the glory of God to do it again and again and again. And this morning we're looking at that. God has saved a couple brothers and drawn them to Himself. It's the glory of God to do that. And we don't want to lose sight of that kind of faith and trust in our God. In verse 4, it says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. I'm going to go back here, and like I said, if you want to follow number 2879, I'm going to go there and look at some of these promises. In the back of my Bible here. And the first one that's mentioned there is brighter days. How many of us, when we've had some burden on our heart and the burden was lifted and a relationship has been cleared, how many of us have experienced a brighter day? Well, a few of us have. I think maybe there's more that have had that than raised their hand. I'm pretty sure it's probably the case. I have experienced a brighter day already when I found forgiveness and grace and mercy. Maybe something came up between me and another person I was relating to. It's a wonderful thing to have a promise of a brighter day. Another one, Psalms 34:19 is deliverance. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Just speaks about deliverance. Maybe our present circumstance seems so great, we don't see why God would allow this thing to happen. What's the purpose of this customer coming and explaining this problem and taking about a half hour on the phone, and then a day later realized it had nothing to do with anything you did, and the accusation was nothing. Something totally else was going on with the vehicle and had nothing to do with what he accused you of the day before, but he doesn't have time to call you about that. But he had time to talk for about a half hour about, I don't know, if you ever work on cars, you might run into a situation or so, and then a customer may take it home and have something else happen that might be totally not related to what you did, but they might feel like it's all your fault. So if you have that ever opportunity, trust God. So we have opportunities, and maybe you could have a few to share yourself. But when people work with us and their pocketbook opens up with us, a little bit of their heart goes with us, and they have high expectations of us. Is that wrong? Not really. It's part of a relationship. But then there's all those accountabilities and joys and sorrows that go with sharing life together. And we have opportunity to work through those things. Sometimes it's a lot easier than others. Here's another one, divine care and sickness. I had a customer come in this week. I don't know what to think of it, but the Lord wanted me to spend about 25 minutes with him this week. And he wanted me to just listen. And this man claimed to have the gift of healing. And he believed in God, wanted to know if I did. And he wanted to explain some of the things that God did. And now how his God's a real God and a living God. And amen. I told him I agreed too. Praise the Lord. Wow, that is amazing, you know. And divine care and sickness, God works miracles like this every day. What the man shared, I appreciate. I trust it's real and true. I trust he's serving the same God I am. It was pretty amazing, but I know I have an amazing God, and I'll leave that with him. Thank the Lord, and I'm trusting him too. We're going to go on together. But God has a divine care and sickness, and sometimes God will heal. Sometimes he chooses to allow the thing to be the way it is, but his divine care can be present in that too. But there's times God does amazing things in healing. Another one here is the comfort of God's presence. Sometimes when things are on our plate that we have to think about and wonder about, and we're pondering on what's been all going on in our lives, what's God's purpose in these things, you know, maybe pondering on some of the past, how things are going, and where God has us today. Isn't it a comfort to just know that God is there? I find that. As we look at our lives and see God's hand working, it's a blessing as a father to see our children get born again and come to a place of baptism. Just seeing God's hand and looking back at that and seeing it yet today. God's a living God. Seeing him do a work. The comfort of God's presence is just wonderful. The next one here is an eternal home. as we walk through life, as we teach our children, what a wonderful thing it is to have an eternal home to look forward to. There'll be no more crying, no more sorrow, no more death there, no more arthritis, no more Parkinson's. What else could we list off this morning? We'll have new bodies. We'll have new feet. We'll have new hearts. We'll have God. We have an eternal home. There won't be any dark corners and a need for night lights there. He is light. There'll be nothing between us and our Savior. There'll be a peace, there'll be a warmth, there'll be a love, there'll be a joy that will one day make all of these cares, all of these things that we face, when we get there and we stand there, the awe and the splendor of that moment will make all of this look so small. But does it take faith to believe that? Sure it does. But isn't that a lot to look forward to? You know, courtship, it's a wonderful thing. Different of us have gone through the experience of courting. When you get the part of counting the days, it can seem long, you know? I had never really did that, but some count the hours, some count the days. I did the last week. I remember counting the days. I remember doing that. But doesn't it seem long? So then our wedding comes. Remember sitting there? And now I'm married 20 years. And that 6 months really doesn't look that long that I dated. Courted, however you want to word that. I hope it's a good experience to look back on. It was for me, thank the Lord. But that thing of like 1,000 years or but a day, and a day seems like 1,000 years, that thinking applies to this. When we stand there at our home, it's going to make these things seem worth it all and so small. And I just want to encourage us, trust in God. There is an eternal home, and it's coming. It's worth it all. Don't give up. And maybe you're not feeling that low this morning. If you're not, and you're on the cloud experience right now, and it's all going good, thank God there too. There's probably some this morning that are having joy and just going forward. I'm finding that in my life right now, and yet there's things I'm facing too, but may God give you strength in your circumstance to be faithful as you look at these things. Here's another one. All things work together for the believer's good. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, there's times it takes, this one right here, the brother mentions suffering. There's times that it takes a lot of faith to believe that this thing is going to work for the good. It takes a lot of faith to trust God with this one. If you know those feelings that I'm talking about. Maybe it looks really big, and we look at this thing, and we would like to just erase that one off of here and look at all these other ones. In the course of life, that's something that has fascinated me about brothers' meetings. I have been in this setting now for about 23 years, I think, something like that. And in the course of all that, I've seen each brother have the opportunity to either be in the object of the discussion of the brothers' meeting or having a present need that has brought something to the plate that. And in the course of life, I've seen it go all the way around the table, and it's been me already, that maybe has needed some help to work through something or something along that line, and we need to be there for each other. If it's not your opportunity, thank God, but pray for the ones that it is. Because the thing goes full circle, usually. It's just a matter of time. And we need to be here for each other. And it may be some issue that's going to come on your heart that's going to be a sensitive one that you believe in a certain way or you feel a certain way about, and then it'll be your turn to pray and humble your heart. You know, as a brotherhood, when we think of this thing of all things working together for the good, it's so real sometimes, more so than others, but it's very real. We need to pray for one another. If we know something's going on and we know there's a brother that's facing it right now, we can text him, we can call him, we can go visit him. Let's don't talk about him. Let's talk to him. Put some shoes to this thing and put a profitable discussion to this thing and be a blessing to your brother. We don't need this. Do you follow what I'm saying? We need to connect with the brother. Because brothers and sisters, there's times when it'll happen that it might be your turn to have something on your heart that's overwhelming. Just wait, it'll come. I guarantee you. I've seen it happen. And maybe a brother has a confession to make. Is there an atmosphere? Are we helping create such an atmosphere that it can allow that to be a blessing or that it can even be free to come? What kind of atmosphere are we contributing as we look at this thing of this working together for the believer's good and being a brother's keeper, being a blessing? The next one here is sufficiency of divine grace. I was talking to one of my boys the other day. It's a phenomenon. I've read the Bible. It's becoming more and more real to me the older I get. The Bible says that you shall have grace according to your need. That's a paraphrase of a verse. It's mentioned in different places, and I've pondered on that thing. Just, is God that real? Is it real? And I was talking to my one boy the other day, and I was telling him, I said, you know, if this situation wouldn't have happened, you wouldn't have been able to come to God and ask for grace to overcome this thing, and you wouldn't have been able to experience that grace to help with that need if it wouldn't have happened. You know, you really wish you could take and get a whole bunch of grace stock inventory and just take it with you and have it every time you need it, just real easy like. Does that make sense to you what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be just really handy like? You know, you could just kind of, no problem, I'll take care of that one. But somehow it happens that we run into a situation and we have to cry out to God for the grace, maybe to love the brother, maybe to work through the situation. And then as we come off our knees or we're on our knees, we feel that grace come to our hearts and it changes us. Well, again, God proved himself faithful and it happened, but it won't happen till you have need. So let's take courage. When our God does care, and if we test him like that, he'll come through. I want to encourage us that way. God has sufficiency of divine grace. As we heard this morning from Brother Peter, and as we look at Hebrews 11, and I see my own life, our God is able like that. Thank the Lord for that. And then the next one is fellowship in Christ's sufferings. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Except we go through some of these sufferings and some of the stress that brings, we're not going to understand what Christ went through on the cross for us. If we don't have a tearing away at times of or a tearing in our hearts about a closeness and a pain of something going on in our hearts, we're not going to understand Christ like we would as if we lay hold of him in our circumstances. When we come to him and we see what he went through, Christ facing all the rejection he did, then his 12 apostles leaving him, and then going to the cross, and then on the cross, his Father turning his face from him and being there all on his own. That kind of feeling of forsakenness, that's what Christ went through for us. And he wants to be there for us too and lead us through as we walk through our lives. I don't know, we could go on, and there's many things. Like I say, there's 20 of them here. You take 2880, you go on. He removes obstacles. There's divine sonship. There's eternal life. There's spiritual light. There's salvation. These things are just wonderful blessings that God wants to work in our hearts as we walk with him. And I don't know, going back to 2 Peter, I'd like to go there again and just look a little more at verse 6, 7, and 8. How about we stand up a minute? I think there's a few weary people this morning. Let's stand up, and I'll read verse 6, 7, and 8 here again, and we'll go over a few of these words here. If you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. That can help too, some of us are weary this morning. Must have been a long week. Let's read 6, 7, and 8 together. It says, "And to knowledge, temperance; to temperance, patience; and to patience, godliness; and to godliness, brotherly kindness; and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, you can be seated. As we look at life here in verse 6, 5, 6, and 7, and then 8, these things are strengthening points that we can put some meat on our Christian lives with. It says, "Add to your faith virtue." Virtue means depth and value and meaning. And to virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is increasing understanding or awareness. And knowledge, temperance. That's something that can really speak. Someone who's tempered in the way they eat, the way they drink, the clothes that they wear, how long they sleep, the things they do for recreation, the things they do in their work, their life speaks of temperance. As we look around and we relate with people day to day, people that don't know temperance, that thing can be very obnoxious as you meet different people and you see large imbalances in their lives and you observe it different times in the shop. My boys and I, we get home the end of the day. There's people, stories could go about this issue of temperance in people's lives, some of these different things. And it's God's heart that we could be temperate. The one that I just never will forget, I had a situation, I had a customer in New York at my tire shop. He comes up to the counter, and you've probably seen him. They got this little oxygen bottle on wheels. And then there's this tube increasing their oxygen level throughout the day. Usually that's because they're smoking, their lungs are destroyed, and they're not able to absorb enough, and they need help. Well, I got opportunity to get in this guy's car to figure something out, and so I had to take this thing for a ride. I'm telling you, the windows went down so fast in that car so I could breathe. The smoke was so thick in that thing. And as I drove that thing, I'm not kidding you, this thing had shelves on the dash and on the cup tray and so forth where the cigarette butts were like this. About that so deep. And as I drove, there was a couple of them falling off these mounds. So I was trying to drive it to help bring out a problem, and these butts were falling to the floor. They couldn't hold anymore. And all I could see is this guy standing there at the counter with his untempered life that was never taught or never laid hold of. The ability to say no to another smoke. And there he was, all withered away, not able to take in enough oxygen anymore, toting his bottle around. You know, he didn't want to, the pile was so big. I never in my life have seen anything like it. But if you want to look in that man's van, that's what his lungs look like. That man, if you think about it, he probably lost $60,000 to $80,000 worth of money on cigarettes. And he's paying for his habit every day. And my question to us this morning is, what's going on in our hearts as we look at our day? What's our oxygen bottle look like? If you opened the door and looked in your heart, what would it look like? Would someone want to come in there and sit beside you as you go through your day? Or would the windows have to get down, heads go out for a breath of fresh air? Apply it to anger. Apply it to what? Drink, food. You know, I'm working on it, brothers. I'm telling you, I am. I'm going to keep working on it. But what are these issues that are imbalanced or intemperate? It says to faith, add virtue. To virtue, add knowledge. And to knowledge, when you know better, add temperance. Couple those together. A beautiful life can come from this. That's what he's trying to help us do this morning, is establish a concept of a beautiful Christian life. I want a wetter appetite for that this morning. And then it goes on and says, to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. And I tell you, as I look at life, there's some people that stand out to me as I look back. My wife and I have talked about it occasionally. Some couples that are 70 and 80 years old, still holding hands, have a real love for each other through all the cares of life they've been through. And when you're 70 years old, Brother Joe could testify to this, you've been through a few things. Amen, brother? And Joe, I see Joe still holding his wife's hand. Bless the Lord, brother. And it's good for a man to love his wife through all the cares of life, let it be so. But it's one thing to hold hands, but it's another when you sense that they love each other. And you hear it, and you see it, and you smell it, and you taste it. For real. And I think if you think about what I'm saying, you know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not going to ask you, but if you look back, how many couples do you see 70 and 80 years old walking like that? How many hands would it take to count them all? That's my prayer this morning, that God could do something and make a big difference 80 years from now. It shouldn't just be this many. Amen? And where are we at in this thing? What kind of words come out of our mouth about our spouse, about our brother, about our sister, or about our preacher, about our God, about Jesus? Do people see and smell and taste godliness, brotherly kindness? Do you follow what I'm saying this morning? I don't hear anything. Okay, praise the Lord. Let it be so. Let's don't just talk about it, brothers. God help us. The brotherly kindness, charity. Now, charity is a love that covers a multitude of sins. And it mentions it last, but above all, in all these things, if you have temperance and you do it with the love of God, and you have godliness and you do it with the love of God, and if you have brotherly kindness and you do it with the love of God, it's just going to smell like love. All the way through. It's going to look right. It's going to feel right. As you rub shoulders with somebody like that, it's just going to feel good. It's going to speak to your heart of the God that you're talking about. It's going to feel like that when you leave that person's presence or you come into their presence. And may God help us, brothers. Seriously, it's a challenge. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in this knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall away from God. I think that more or less summarizes a lot what I'm thinking about this morning. I could talk a while. I don't want to bore you or have some fall asleep or so. We want to be vigilant. We want to be diligent. I think we've all had a long week, some of us more so than others. And we want to just take a hold of these truths, as basic as they might seem, and let's live them out. Let's encourage each other to do this. Let's pray for one another. So much more so, as you see, looking around you, that the day is approaching. I mean, we live in a day, it's not long, brothers. I seriously don't believe it will be. May God help us to be faithful unto the end. Lord bless.